The Flames Talk postgame show starts now on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Our Flames Talk postgame show is underway on this Saturday night as the Flames wrap up a four-game road trip with a 6-2 loss in Pittsburgh. Rough way to wrap up this road trip, which sees them go 0-3-1 as they wrap up the month of November. It's Pat Steinberg along with you. Flames Talk postgame on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Your text line is 960-960. Text line wide open to you as well. As we say hello to Megan Mickelson, the color voice of the Calgary Flames, joining us from Pittsburgh, where the Flames fall 6-2. And, you know, lots of good things done in the first period, but nothing to show for it, Mick, and then kind of unravels from there in what turns out to be a blowout loss. Kind of a disastrous way to end off this four-game road trip in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and I think not producing and not capitalizing in that first period is what ended up really hurting them. And coming into this game, they had a NHL low, just 12 goals in the first period. So I think, you know, obviously you want to find more offense in general, but I think finding offense early on would really help them. You saw the energy that they got from the goals that they scored late in this one. Like, it really gives you a boost. And so if they can find a way, you know, especially in the game on Tuesday, you're going home, you're back on home ice, and trying to find one early on, I think that could do wonders for them. But we heard Mackenzie Weegar talk about it. The penalty kill, is it's really slipped. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, it's a lot of pressure to put on the PK too when you're taking that many penalties. So I think discipline is a key area of focus moving forward, and making sure that you're staying out of the box, and then tightening up on the penalty kill. You're going to have to kill penalties eventually, but just minimizing the amount that you have to kill, and then making sure that you sharpen up. I thought that the penalty kill, to me, it hasn't been nearly as aggressive. They've allowed entry into their zone a little bit too easy, and then just the checking in general is they've backed off a little bit. So definitely an area of their game to clean up, but should feel good about going home and knowing the success that they've had in the Saddle Dome. Hopefully that can provide some confidence for them too.
Mick, let's select tonight's hardest working Flame. Which way are you leaning after a 6-2 loss tonight?
Well, I'm going to go with Jonathan Huberdeau. I thought that, you know, I said it during the game and during the broadcast that I thought he's struggled lately. And one of the notes on my board with my notes was that he needs to move his feet more. And I thought that he did that tonight. And he was a big part of that pushback towards the end of the game. Obviously, he had a goal and an assist, had 6 shot attempts as well. So had much more of a shot mentality. But I liked his work all over the ice, too. Obviously, I think, you know, with his game, you kind of expect the D zone is not always perfect. But in terms of the effort, I thought it was there. I thought he was moving his feet and creating in the offensive zone.
Jonathan Huberdeau is your hardest working Flame from Pittsburgh tonight, where the Flames fall 6-2 to the Penguins. They split the season series with Pittsburgh, a shootout win and a regulation loss. Mick, our marquee matchup on the pregame show brought to you by Country Hills Toyota, and you and I talked about it on the pregame show a little bit as well, an opportunity against this Penguins team to maybe get the offense going a little bit. And, you know, Martin Pospisil hits that post in the first period, and great save from Nedeljkovic off the end boards, bounce to Rasmus Anderson, and he robs him in the first period there as well. But now 22 straight games without scoring 3 or more goals. Mick, they scored just 34 goals in 15 games in the month of November. The offense is clearly turned into an issue with this group. What needs to happen as a new calendar month begins? How do the Flames, even in a slight way, start to improve their offense here?
Well, I wonder, number one, I would say I agree with Mackenzie Weegar in that oftentimes when you're struggling to get offense, sometimes you need an ugly one to get things going. But also wonder, you know, with Justin Kirkland being out, and if that's going to be a long-term thing, who they would bring up from the Wranglers, and if that could provide a bit of a spark and some offense. I think, you know, this team and the group in general has responded well when there's that healthy internal competition. So I mean, if you bring someone up and try to give the group a bit of a push, maybe you can get a little bit more going. But I don't know how many more line permutations you can try to work with. I feel like they've tried everything. So I think for players, I mean, it's just looking in the mirror and making sure that, you know, you're one of those guys that's expected to produce, that you're executing and you're doing what you need to do on a nightly basis to make sure that you're putting the puck in the net. But sometimes to get that rolling, to get it going, you just need to find one and get an ugly one.
Yeah, we'll see if they can maybe start to make that happen on Tuesday night. Your marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. It's time to Toyota at the giant Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 Toyota truck clear out is on. Get financing as low as 0% OAC with zero down and no payments until May 2025. And just to wrap it up before we say goodbye to you on this Saturday night, Mick, they do come home for two. They've been very good on home ice. And you know, I think that this road trip probably underlines one of the main messages Ryan Huska has been driving home all season long. You know, there's a certain way this group has to play, and even if they get away from it a little bit, it can really go against them. And I think that there's a lot of evidence as they come back home to a place where they're 9-3. You know, they know exactly the brand of hockey they're going to have to play next week at the Dome.
Yeah, there's definitely not a lot of room for error in the way that they're. You know that they know how to play and their identity as a group. And when you get away from that, I mean, it is a really hard way to play. And Ryan Lomberg has mentioned it over the course of an 82-game season. Like, it's a very taxing, demanding style to play. So maybe it's getting used to recognizing that you can't take your foot off the gas, but also that they have to expect that other teams now know that they're a good hockey team. Like, they're not going to come into games thinking that playing against the Flames, I mean, projected coming into this season, I believe it was the Sportsnet ranking of being the 31st place team in the league. Well, they know it's not going to be a cakewalk. So other teams are going to be bringing their best. And I wonder if they came into this road trip and recognizing that all four teams they were going to play against were under 500. And maybe the Flames thought it was going to be easier to come away with wins on this road trip than it ended up being. So, you know, I think that, you know, there's two parts to that, I guess you could say, is that, you know, recognizing they can't get away from the way that they need to play. There's no room for error, very small room for error, but also knowing that other teams are going to be at their absolute best when they play them and expecting that moving forward.
Okay, Mick, well, fly safe. We will see you Monday at practice, and have a good one-day weekend. Hey, thanks for everything on the road.
Yeah, thanks, Pat.
That is Megan Mickelson signing off from Pittsburgh this evening, where the Flames fall by a 6-2 score at the hands of the Penguins. At one point, it was 5-0 in the third period. And when it's all said and done, this one, especially as the second period and the game rolled on, doesn't really close in the first, and didn't really continue in that way for the Flames into the second and third period. It was 3-0 after 45-0 8 minutes into the third period, and so Flames lose this one by a 6-2 score. They go 0-3-1 on this four-game road trip, and they enter the month of December now on a four-game losing skid. They're back at home for two starting Tuesday against the Columbus Blue Jackets. It's time to go from the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Let's head back to PPG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh, where Ryan Huska, head coach, just finished his thoughts following a 6-2 loss to the Pens. Here is head coach Ryan Huska.
Coach, after what looked to be a pretty good start early on from your group, where did you see things start to get away from you?
Well, the first was, I thought, a good period for us. We weren't able to capitalize on chances, so it would have been nice to have been able to get one on the board in the first period. But I felt it was the start of the second period. We turned the puck over in the neutral zone, had a long shift in our own zone, then we gave one up on the penalty kill there. And from that point on, I thought we lost some of the life out of the sails.
I don't think it's three on the power play. Is it too simplistic to look at, you know, just that being the big difference?
Our inability to finish probably early on in the game was one thing, like I mentioned. But you need to get some kills. This was a tough trip penalty kill-wise for us. I know we're a better group than what we showed on the penalty kill, and we're gonna have to dig in with it, because it's something that we want to be a strength of our team, and right now it's not where it needs to be.
And Jonathan just kind of described, you know, guys that have been through that and know how to get the job done, and then, you know, it's just not finding a way. Is there something that you can kind of look to right now as you kind of oversee it?
Well, you look at something similar to what our power play was like earlier on, and lately it's been really good for us. It's probably been the strength of our team. So you're going to go through stretches like this, but you have to find a way to stop it, right? You have to find a way to have a night where you're clean, so they get an opportunity to build on something.
Jonathan also said he thought the team might be a little too easy to play against. Would you agree with that right now?
I don't know about that. I mean, there's certain parts to our game when we're doing things the right way. I feel like we're hard to play against. That's just by having our guys are tight to their people on the right side of it. I think when he's talking we're hard to play against, I think that's what he's probably alluding to, would be my guess. So there were stretches of it on this trip that we saw, but there wasn't enough for us.
Obviously some disappointment in the results, but are you sensing that, you know, the frustration is not building yet, or in terms of handling it properly?
I thought we were frustrated tonight as the game went on. I mean, you're not finishing the way we'd hoped to finish, and you could sense it in them a little bit. So, but at the same time, it's always about, you have to stick with it. You have to have the mentality that we're going to keep going until we earn it and earn our breaks and earn our bounces, and then we'll get ourselves back again.
There you go. That is head coach Ryan Huska post-game after a 6-2 loss in Pittsburgh. The Flames end up going 0-3-1 on this four-game road trip. Tough way to wrap up the month of November. The calendar turns on Sunday, and they will kick off their December schedule Tuesday against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Tonight's game has been brought to you by South Point Toyota. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Text line open at 960-960. And from the dressing room was brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Your phone calls, your texts, more thoughts inside the Flames locker room, and a whole lot more. Flames Talk postgame on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, and live right here. This is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Well, the lack of offense is really starting to become a concern for this team. On top of that, probably a little bit too loose defensively, and the road woes mixed with the scoring woes mixed with some frustration. And next thing you know, you find yourself losing in a game 6-2 to the Penguins. You find yourself, after winning four straight, losing four straight as the streaky up and down season continues. They are 0-3-1 on this road trip to wrap it up. They wrap up the month of November, three games above 500 overall, and they will enter the month of December in a playoff spot. But, the trend not where they would like it to be going following this 6-2 loss on the road in Pittsburgh. And now 22 straight games without scoring three goals or more. They did not score three or more goals in a single game in the month of November. In 15 November games, they scored just 34 times. And they just, as it stands right now, they're not generating enough. They're not getting to the middle. They're not putting enough traffic on net. And they've become a fairly pedestrian team to play against. And you know, in this game, they generated five high-danger scoring chances in a meaningless third period. But before that, just four five-on-five high-danger scoring chances in the first 40 minutes. And that's just, you're not going to be able to win games when your offense is as pedestrian and perimeter as it's been of late. Now, as I've said many times, I don't know how much more offense this team has in them, but I know there's a little bit more. And we know that this team is going to be playing on the razor's edge a lot of games this year, but the offense isn't just struggling because they're lacking the same type of talent other teams have. We're also seeing this team not get in the eyes of opposing goaltenders. And once again, Nedeljkovic, especially in the final 40 minutes of this game tonight, it's far too easy for him to see the puck. It was a little better in the first period, and I thought he was very strong in the first period. But the second and third period, just not enough, making life difficult on him. So if teams are going to block a lot of shots, and if teams are going to keep you to the outside effectively, and the Flames have been kept to the outside too effectively in recent games, you've got to. There are other ways to create chaos, and part of that, I think, is getting more bodies towards opposing net. I sound like a broken record because I said this following the Columbus game. I said this following the Detroit game. I said this following the Ottawa game. The biggest goal the Flames have scored on this trip was Connor Zary's game-tying goal late in Detroit. How did that goal get scored? By Jonathan Huberdeau taking the eyes away from Cam Talbot, who had seen everything prior to that. The minute Huberdeau takes his eyes away on a perfect screen, Zary walks in from just outside the circle and wires it by him because he didn't see the shot until too late. Not seeing enough of that. And this team is not going to be a team that generates a lot of inner slot or high dangers just on their own. So they're going to have to make it so that some of those... This team is also... It's too easy for it to be one and done. There's not enough second opportunities. And you get second opportunities by getting bodies to the net even without the puck. So even if the puck is not going to the middle, maybe you get a goalie who's fighting it and he kicks out a rebound to the slot and there's your second opportunity. But if you don't have a body or two in and around the crease and making life difficult on the opposing goalie, the second opportunity doesn't come because you're not there for it. So the offense is becoming a problem. The goaltending isn't bailing the Flames out to the same extent it was before. Their defensive game, while still generally strong, hasn't been as kind of airtight as it had been before. And now we're seeing the results kind of go the other way. See if the Flames can get it back on track Tuesday when they host the Columbus Blue Jackets. What's going on? It's Steinberg along with you following a fourth consecutive loss. This is your Flames Talk postgame show on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcast. Got a couple people on the line, on the phone lines, but a couple open lines as well if you want to jump in at 403-240-4444. Call now. We can chat some Flames hockey on this Saturday night. Lots of text to get to at 960-960. Let's go back inside the Flames locker room. Jonathan Huberdeau, a goal and an assist in this game tonight. He spoke post-game following a 6-2 loss.
Just your kind of assessment of where this evening started to get away from you guys.
Yeah, I think, we're just an easy team to play against. And I feel like, we're taking penalties. The PK needs to get better too. I think, even though we're going to take penalties, we have to be able to kill them. And I think, it's hard for us when we're, down a lot of goals and we have to come back and, we got to come out harder and play harder, even on a back-to-back. I mean, they were on a back-to-back as well. So find a way, regroup. We have to stick together still. And we're going back home. We know we're better at home, but we'll still have to figure out the road game.
When you say easy, where do you see that the most? Because I think when you guys are at your best, it kind of feels like it's the opposite, right?
Yeah, I think we're working all together. I mean, I think there's just missing some assignment. And, I think we're a good team when we all play like the right way. I think it's, we can't only play like 3 out of 5 on the ice. There's going to be a mistake. And, I think we just got to help each other out there and skate a little bit more. I think we've been slower the past few games, and when we're a slow team, we're easy to play against.
Joe, every team goes through ruts. I think this, everybody knows that, but how do you kind of make sure your team doesn't let this spiral even more?
I mean, it's tough when you're there's downs in the season, and we had one early in the year, and right now that's what it is. And I mean, I think it's just to be with each other and kind of, come back to the basics. Sometimes you try to get away from things that you were doing well early, so we got to get back to that.
With the PK, I mean, a couple of times, obviously there's some tough breaks in there too, but you're getting to the late stages of the PK, almost get out of it, and then they get that late one. I mean, how deflating is that? I mean, just maybe what are you seeing?
I mean, PK is 2 minutes, and we got to be good for 2 minutes. I think there's no excuse to get scored on the last 10 seconds or so. So, I mean, it's all of us. I think we got to change, do some changing, do something. We got to, I think we're, And we've been good at PK, and it's usually the same guys that play PK, so they're good players. I mean, they know how to kill the penalties, and we just got to regroup. It's like the power play wasn't going too well early. We got a good break, so we got to do the same thing on PK, special teams.
There you go, Jonathan Huberdeau, post-game tonight in Pittsburgh. He has a goal and an assist, and honestly thought he was one of Calgary's better players in this game. Thought he was engaged, and as Mick said a little earlier, moving his feet the entire game. So there weren't a lot of bright spots in this game, but I did think Huberdeau had himself a pretty decent evening. There's some rough outings on the blue line. Pahal really struggled in this game. Uyghur continues to struggle. I thought Bean had a couple of really rough moments. But there were some good performances. I thought Huberdeau from the get-go was one of the guys moving. I thought that, Kadri had some moments in the first period in this game. But as a whole, I think the theme of the road trip, maybe too many passengers, and when this team doesn't have most of their guys with their seatbelts on and ready to drive it, they can have games get away on them pretty quickly. Let's get to the text line for the first time tonight at 960-960. This reads, the Flames are in dire need of a couple goal scorers. The one they have are not the ones. Kadri is half of what he was. Kuzmenko is snake bitten. Huberdeau has been average at best. All three are getting paid to produce and nothing. I think Kuzmenko is more than just snake bit. Snake bit means you're getting the opportunities. Kuzmenko's got nothing. He is not getting the opportunities. He's not generating the opportunities. Kuzmenko's not. Connor Zeri or Matt Coronato have been snake bit. They've been guys getting the opportunities. Kuzmenko hasn't been generating anything on a regular basis. What else we got here on the text line at 960-960? Brent in Langdon says, even though the Penguins are having a rough year, they have the talent to overcome hard work. Flames need a star like all other Canadian NHL teams. Time for Flames ownership to realize this. Look at San Jose and Columbus. They're going to continue losing to these teams. Middle of the pack will not work anymore, or has it ever worked? This reads, this team is literal trash, and I don't know what I did to piss off the hockey gods to be made into a fan of theirs. Embarrassing and pathetic. Sorry you have to deal with covering this tire fire. Pat, I don't know. I don't know who this is. I believe it's Bryce. Bryce is who texted that. This from Andy. Pat, that was a painful game to watch. I do not know what's going on with the Flames. The talent on that roster, the Flames should be fighting for first in the division. Is it Huska's system? Is Huska's right way of playing hockey include scoring? Do the Flames need to move pieces? I don't understand why they're not playing great on the road or overall since the hot start. Anyway, go Flames, go. I think part of what we're seeing is maybe a little bit of a regression to where the Flames might or should be. I think you can only be a bottom tier offensive team for so long before it starts to catch up to you. And you can be as strong defensively and get as strong goaltending as possible. And sometimes a lack of scoring is going to come back and rear its ugly head. So I think we are seeing a little bit of that. Again, we're talking about, they're 25 games in? They haven't scored more than 3 goals in a game since game 3 of the regular season. Eventually, that is going to catch up to you. And, on this road trip, I think in a few games, some of Calgary's defensive details lapsed a little bit. Their goaltending wasn't quite as strong on this trip as it had been prior. Not to say the goaltending was the primary reason why they didn't win a game on this trip, but it wasn't as strong. It maybe wasn't stealing them games or in that type of form. And so then you couple that with still no offense and maybe you get the results that you saw. And so I think when you look at this roster, I think we all knew scoring was going to be an issue, and maybe them being the 5 or 6 games above 500 that they were, maybe that was because they were at a time, they were 12, 6-3 or whatever they were entering action. Yeah, they were 12-6-3 when this road trip started, and they finished at 12-9-4. And I think being 6 games above 500, maybe a little overinflated compared to what they are. And so I think maybe we're seeing a slight correction. Now, I don't think this team is going to fall completely out of this thing. I just don't know if fighting for first in the Pacific or sitting comfortably in second in the Pacific was going to be what this team was going to be all year. When you take a look at this roster and the way they have to play, for me, they were going to be a competitive group for the balance of the season, for the vast majority of the season, and in the mix. Well, they were, through the first quarter of the season, a little bit or a whole lot better than just competitive, right? Their results had them amongst the best teams in the Western Conference. On merit, are they one of the best teams in the Western Conference? Roster for roster? Probably not. And that's just telling it like it is. But that doesn't change the fact that I still think with the roster they have, with the brand of hockey we know they're capable of playing, that they didn't play anywhere near consistently enough on this trip. I still think that this group is hanging around and sticking in this conversation for the vast majority of the season still. But now they're 12-9-4. Now they're a little bit more in the middle of the Western Conference playoff pack, which is a little bit closer to, I think, where they are. And so sometimes you do have a slight correction. And in this case, I wonder if we're seeing that on this four-game road trip. And you know what? They've also been a streaky group, so wouldn't surprise us at all if all of a sudden they rattle off four or five in a row the other way, because that's what we've seen from them so far this season. This from Ash says, very ironic that both Flames goals involved the historically awful duo of Kadri and Huberdeau on the ice at the same time. I predict that both players will be playing on the same line with Pospisil next game versus Columbus, with Kuzmenko being scratched. Your thoughts? I wouldn't hate anything that they would try to do. You know, I thought Klapka struggled in this game. I give him the benefit of the doubt. First NHL game in more than a month. But I wonder, like, I think Kirkland's going to be out a little bit here. He's being evaluated, and I think we'll find out a little bit more early next week. But I'm not getting the greatest feel on that. And again, it's a pretty ominous thing. I don't know, because they don't know as of yet. The Flames don't know what the severity of this lower body injury as of yet. They're going to find out, I think, at some point early next week. But it is ominous again, very similar to the Mantha one, where a very innocuous-looking play on Mantha, he leaves, and we all know how that went. We don't even know when Kirkland tweaked whatever he tweaked, knee, ankle, whatever we're talking about. We don't know when that happened. And those non-contact innocuous things always scare me, especially when a guy is ruled out in a game as quickly as Kirkland was on Friday. So that feels ominous to me. I'm crossing my fingers. I'm wrong on that one. Much like Mantha, who is, you know, have this opportunity on a show me contract, and then his season ends very prematurely. You hope that we're not talking about something severe on Kirkland, because he's had such a great run here. He's been such a useful player, and he's such a great story. It would be gut-wrenching, honestly, if that were to be the case. So I'm hoping that's not the case. But I think it's safe to say that, you know, Kirkland probably isn't back for Tuesday's game against Columbus. And so in saying or knowing that, Klapka, I thought, struggled. If Kirkland isn't ready to go and you put him on IR, well, then all of a sudden you could send Klapka to the minors if you wanted to, and maybe you could infuse a little bit of youth and a little bit of excitement in the American League onto this NHL roster. Like, now, with the Kirkland thing, with Klapka, now I'm a little bit more like, okay, Klapka, maybe give him one more game, but if that doesn't prove to be a really good fit, do you think about bringing up a pair of guys from the American League? Like, if they send Klapka down and Kirkland's on IR, then they're at 11 forwards. You could bring up a Pelche and a Cairns, or a Doer and a Cairns, a Doer and a Pelche. You could do things like that. You know, Cairns is the interesting one, because I think you'd like him to play center if you could. Would there be a spot open for him in that regard other than a fourth line role? I don't know. But all of a sudden, that starts to make a little bit more sense when you start to get a little bit more, when you start to think about sending Klapka to the American League, if that's the way they go. Now, I don't think necessarily he deserves it after one game. He hasn't played for more than a month. I'd probably give him another shot against Columbus on Tuesday. But now all of a sudden, we'll see what the Kirkland situation is like. But, you know, there are some interesting options that they can dive into. And on top of that, if you're going to healthy scratch Kuzmenko, which I don't think is out of the question, nor do I think is unreasonable, you also have the option to, like, if you wanted to call up, say, Doer and Pelche, well, Doer translates well on a fourth line. If you don't want Pelche on a fourth line, well, put him into the top nine if you're going to scratch Kuzmenko for a game or two, and you can go Pelche on the backland line with Coleman or something like that. Like, now all of a sudden you've got some... There's an open door for maybe things that fit a little bit more that didn't prior. We'll see. Anand writes, good evening, Pat. Another tough game. Two questions. What did you think went wrong, derailed this road trip? Can we expect changes in the lines come Tuesday for a fresh start? I think that we absolutely could. We will see. And again, what I was just talking about, you know, maybe even some personnel tweaks as they move forward into next week, depending on the severity of Kirkland's injury. What went wrong in this road trip? They couldn't score. They score like, and they end up scoring what? 3, 4, 6, 8 goals in the four games. And how many of those meant anything? Only 2 meaningful goals against Ottawa, 1 against Detroit. I guess both against Columbus were meaningful. So that's 2, 3, 5, and then 0 tonight. Neither of the goals tonight. So that's 5 meaningful goals they scored on this trip. You know, the biggest reason why this trip derailed was their lack of offense. Neil in the Northeast says, in the immortal worlds of Jackie Moon, everybody panic. This reads, time for Kuzmenko to ride the pine for a bit. This is a results-based business. I'm sorry if it might hurt his feelings, but come on, bring up Hanzek. Let him breathe some life into this dismal array of floaters. The lack of scoring is abysmal, as is the number of senseless penalties as of late. Produce or sit, simple as that. You know, I would probably lean towards keeping Hanzek in the American League for the time being, but maybe Hanzek's an option too. Didn't even think about that. Remember, Hanzek made this team out of camp. Maybe you do think about doing that if you're the Flames. And finally, before we hit the phone lines for the first time tonight, Seth writes, Pat, what an ugly road trip. And in true Flames fashion, all those losses were against teams that weren't in playoff spots. Vladar had a rough night and got left out to dry by a weary defense. What have you thought about Vladar's rebound control this year? I feel it's a weakness in his game that is really noticeable when Wolf does it well every other game. Huberdeau, despite scoring a garbage time goal tonight, has looked as bad as he did last December on this trip. He's on pace to have his worst season in a Flame sweater again. Finally, it has to be time to scratch Kuzmenko, right? Why not have Pelche in that top nine? With how big Kuzmenko's contract is, he'd have to go on a heck of a run to be worth anything by the trade deadline. Have a good night. That comes from Seth. Keep the text coming at 960-960 on the Vladar rebound front. Yeah, I do think the technical issues or technical aspects, rather, of Vladar's game, there are some technical aspects of his game that I think are not as good as Wolf's. I think Wolf's rebound control is pretty damn elite. His side-to-side movement is next level, and his control going laterally is next level, and you combine that ability laterally with his elite hockey sense and ability to read the game, and it makes it look like those side-to-side, post-to-post stops are nothing for him because he's anticipating it quicker than, you know, the vast majority of goalies in the NHL, and his athleticism allows him to get there. You combine that, he's tough to score on going post-to-post. You got to put a perfect shot in a lot of the times. So those things I think are superior to Vladar right now. That being said, Vladar, athleticism-wise, I think he's as athletic as Wolf is, and he's got the size advantage that Wolf doesn't, which gives him a little bit of a leg up in some areas as well. Text line is rolling. Keep them coming at 960-960, and the phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Got a couple of lines open if you want to chat on this Saturday night. One more time, 403-240-4444. Flames Talk postgame's underway. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Pat Steinberg, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, following a Flames 6-2 loss in Pittsburgh to wrap up this road trip. Jeff is kicking us off on the phone lines tonight. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Pat. Long time no talk. I think I text most of the time, but I just thought I wanted to phone in after listening to Overtime last night and
sure,
just getting the tone of how things are going. I think this team's playing above its skis a bit, and then this road trip is kind of, I think, just confirming that. Like, these teams, even though they're below us in the standings, are more talented than us, I think, you know, honestly, and they're desperate. Like, they need to win. They need to go the other way. And they're playing at home. And, I was listening to you talk about getting men in front. And I believe all that too. Yeah, we're not doing certain things well enough. But I just think this team is, I don't know where they would be league talent-wise, but they're not very, yeah, like, I think we need to kind of check our expectations, even though they've been playing so well, you know, overall. So,
well, and I think there are a lot of Flames fans, Jeff, that look at the first quarter of the season and say, hey, that was awesome, and we'll see what they can continue to do. But I think, you know, on our text line, on the phone line, stuff like that, I think there was an understanding that maybe it could regress a little bit or come back down to earth a little bit, and maybe that's what we're watching right now, or maybe it's just a bad four-game stretch. That remains to be seen. But I think if the Flames continue to play hard, and even on this four-game road trip, I still think for the vast majority of games they did, if they continue to play hard and the effort's there on most nights, I think Flames fans, with where this group is right now and where this team is going and kind of the bigger picture still being the biggest priority, I think that, you know, a lot of Flames fans will be accepting if this team does come back down to earth a little bit or does fall back to the pack a little bit, because, you know, maybe they were playing a little over their head for the first quarter of the season, and that's okay if the effort level isn't the thing that has them falling back to the pack, if that's
Don't get me wrong, Pat. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy, like, it's been so fun to watch, and they played hard, and I like their system, and everything looks positive, actually. But, yeah, that's why I'm calling. I just think we are where we should be. I guess that's the gist of my call. And I also heard you talking about bringing up guys from the farm. I think that would be a perfect idea right now. Bring it, like you said, like bringing up a Pelche and, I don't know, is it Kiernan's or what's his name?
Rory Kerens, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like, I think that's a brilliant idea. I think that would be perfect. But anyways, Pat, just enjoy what you do. Keep doing it. I always listen. Thanks, Pat.
Be well, Jeff. Appreciate the call, my friend. And you know what? It doesn't have to be those two guys, right? I mean, it can be more situational. Like, maybe they want to keep, and I wouldn't blame them if they wanted to. Let's just say they do. Let's just say that we're talking about Kirkland out for a little bit, 3 games, 5 games, whatever, and I hope that's all it is. Honestly, I hope he's back for Tuesday. I don't know how realistic that is, but let's say it is a short-term thing for Karen's for Kirkland, and fingers crossed that's the case. Maybe it's not Karen's who they recall. He's the leading scorer right now at the Wranglers with the 14 goals and 20 points in 20 games. Like, he's rolling. Maybe they say, Rory, we're going to keep you down for now. We want you to still be our number one center. There's not a role that fits for you in the NHL right now, but keep doing what you're doing. You're going to get your opportunity. And maybe they go a little bit more situational, right? Maybe they send Klapka down at some point and Dewar comes up. Dewar's got 19 points in 20 games at the Wranglers this year, and you can put him as a right shot on your fourth line right wing, and maybe you bring Pelche up and decide Kuzmenko needs to sit for a game or two, and Pelche can get slotted into the top nine and, you know, see how he does there and kind of roll it from there. And if it works and you want to bring Kuzmenko back in, maybe you got to swap Kuzmenko with Dewar and 96 Kuzmenko's on your fourth line here and there. Like, there are just, you do have some options. With now, I think they would like to, ideally they would have loved just the Kirkland injury not to happen, because he had been a really helpful player for them, but injuries happen, and so you have to make the best of it, and you know, they do have some options in the American League, and you don't want to use them prematurely, because you still want the Wranglers to be playing well as well. You don't want to use those options needlessly, but could be a need here, and you could start to really think of some interesting things to do if you're the Flames. Let's say hello to George at 403-240-4444. Flames lose 6-2 in Pittsburgh. What's up, George?
Not much, Patty. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, buddy. I'm doing well. Hanging in there. These early games are tough for me. I think there's a lot of afternoon games this year so far.
This was an evening game.
This one, yeah, but like, I missed the Columbus one completely. I didn't even get to see that one till later, because when they're that early,
I would have cautioned you not to watch.
Yeah, no, I watched anyway after the fact, and it was like, oof. But, you know, look, rough road trip, right? I mean, one out of a possible 8 points. And honestly, they deserve that record. They were really bad for most of it. And, you know, I'm really hoping the best for Kirkland. But every time because I still listen to the call-in shows, whether I call in or not. And every time you use the term ominous, I get this vibe of dread and pointing to a longer-term injury. So I hope.
Look, and I don't know because they don't know yet. The Flames don't know. So I don't know. He still needs to be evaluated. So I don't know if that's taking place this weekend. I don't know if that's taking place early next week. But I do know he needs some further evaluation on the lower body injury. So whatever that means, they'll find out results here in the next little while, and then they'll have a better idea. So the only reason I say it's ominous is just because he was ruled out pretty quickly, and there really wasn't a discernible time or play in the game that we were watching on Friday afternoon where you're like, oh, Kirkland got hurt there. And those things always worry me a little bit, those non-contact things. So that's I don't know. And I hope any ominous vibes I'm feeling are completely off base. I would love to that not be the case.
Yes, all due respect, I hope your hunch is incorrect. Yes, I'm with you there for sure. Because the guy, Kirkland has become a very important part of this team. I know it sounds a little bit crazy to say that for a quote-unquote fourth liner, but no. This guy, since he's come up, I said it pretty, you know, quickly into his tenure that this gentleman is not seeing the AHL again this year, and I stand firm on that. So hopefully he can get back as quick as possible, and you know the injury isn't too serious. I had a bad feeling about this road trip after the Ottawa game, to be perfectly frank with you, Patty, and the way they played most of this road trip. It's funny because we had this conversation about four or five shows ago, but the way that they played this road trip is the way I thought this team would play all year, right? That was how I just thought, you know, looking at the roster, everything, what's happened, the changeout, et cetera. That's how I thought this team would be all year. So, you know, it came to a pleasant surprise that they did what they did, and deservedly so, up until this road trip. Now, the million-dollar question is this what they ultimately are? Or can they turn it around and start another win streak starting Tuesday?
And you know what? I don't know the answer to that as of yet. And you know, you certainly hope that the answer is number two, that they do have it in them to maybe get something going again. And look, as I said, I don't think this team is ever going to fall out of this thing completely, George. I don't think that this team is ever going to completely be I don't think that at least until later in the season, I don't think we're going to be talking about a team that falls completely out of it, that, you know, isn't playing meaningful games in the standings. I still think this team is, for the vast majority of the season, their games are going to be meaningful. And so, but were they always going to remain in that kind of two seed in the Pacific Division fighting with Vegas? That was maybe where they were a little over their head, but I still think this is a competitive group, even with this four game skid.
And I'm with you there, Patty. And for those on Team Tank, which I have zero problem with, because I was, you know, at the beginning of the year, I was one of those people. Mm-hmm. And there is a part of me that still is, but that's, seems so unrealistic now with the cushion that they have built, because like it or not, through 2 months of the season, they have built that cushion. It's going to be very difficult for this team to get a bottom five pick or even a bottom 10 pick. I think if they miss the playoffs, their own pick's going to Montreal, and that's going to be a crappy situation if it happens, but this is the position they've put themselves in, right? So you can be upset about it. You can whine about it. You can, you know, complain about it. But that, to me, is the reality of the situation, you know? So it's interesting from – we've spoken about this anemic offense ad nauseum here, especially this road trip. But from an offensive point of view, from my observations, there's probably more, but there's four players that really stick out to me so far this year that have really fallen off from last year. And Kuzmenko is number one with a bullet. Mm-hmm. Nazem Kadri is one, even though he's – one of the leading scorers on the team. Huberto's one because his pace is off. And Martin Pospisil is the last one. And his decline is the one that, believe it or not, out of all of them, has really surprised me. Because I really saw not to Zeri's extent, but I really saw him kind of stepping up a little more this year, and it's gone the complete opposite to, like, honestly, a lot of people are talking about Kuzmenko being scratched, and rightfully so. Pospisil's kind of riding the razor's edge for me too a lot of this season.
He's been, at least for me, he's been better of late, and he's looked a little bit more on it of late. So at least there's feels like there's some improvement in Pospisil's game. And I see him, even the offensive side of thing, like things, I don't look at Pospisil as much as like a primary offensive guy on this team, but I do look at him as a tone setter. I do look at him as a guy that can bring it physically and impact the game in a big way that way. I do look at him as a guy that can create turnovers with the way he forechecks. And I've seen a whole lot more of that. So I actually like the way things are trending on Pospisil's front. Kuzmenko, nowhere near as much. Huberto continues. I thought Huberto was one of their better players in this game, but like whatever. Like that, it was. It's still a game where you're like, okay, well, I mean, they lost 6-2, and Huberto is on pace for fewer points this year than he had last year, which was fewer than his first year, so on and so forth. So I guess I look at it and say, Pospisil to me is no longer as big an issue as it was before. Kuzmenko absolutely is. Kadri has been hit or miss, and definitely they need more out of Kadri when it comes to specifically the offense. But I guess what I would say is I'm not as hard on Pospisil anymore, just because I do see some things starting to come around there.
Right, right. And I get that too. And you're not off point with that either. His overall game has been better, but yeah. Like I said, Patty, it's going to be interesting to say Tuesday is going to be, obviously it's going to be a hard one for many reasons. But I know it's going to be tough for some of the players that were, you know, close to, you know, Johnny, rest in peace. They're human beings at the end of the day. I mean, you could see it in Anderson's face when he did the post-game interview after the Columbus game. I mean, it was obviously a very difficult game for him to play. I'm sure the Calgary, the one in the Saddle Dome, will be not easier, but hopefully they can bring a better effort. And one thing I saw at this road trip dwindle every game, and then it just hit its apex tonight, was this team is really lacking confidence right now. And there's nothing more of a confidence killer when you have an opportunity like possible still has a wide open net, hits the post. And then Anderson, like, let's give Nedeljkovic some credit there. He robs Anderson. But at the same time, when stuff like that happens, I don't care who you are. That's a hit to the psyche. That hits the confidence. And this team, regardless of the talent or scoring punch that they do or do not have, confidence, you can see it as an issue right now, and that's affecting them, and that's why these games are starting to become more lopsided. I think that's a big factor as well.
Could be. Yeah, I mean, that was a couple instances to be frustrated in that first period for sure. And you know, Pospisil with that great opportunity. I've never seen a guy squarely hit it off the post quite like Pospisil did on that one. And then that was a great stop by Nedeljkovic, but still frustrating if you're Rasmus Anderson. You're like, geez, was that close to, you know, scoring a goal, and it doesn't end up going in.
Yeah, absolutely. And my friend, always good talking to you. I hope you have a wonderful evening, and more than likely we'll talk after the next game on Tuesday.
Okay, great stuff as always, George. Appreciate it. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444 as the Flames lose 6-2 on the road in Pittsburgh tonight, as we say hello to Dylan. What's up, Dylan?
Hey, man. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. Another disappointing one here tonight, obviously. What did Darryl always used to say? It's a three-goal league, and the Flames are quite lucky that they have had the record they do. Give them some cushion. But, this is the real-life group here, honestly. Like, if you expected anything different, you were living in a fantasy land. I mean, you have to have high-end talent. This team doesn't have it, which is fine. That's part of, you know, building and trying to get better. Help is on the way. Going to be here eventually. I don't know. I think if people were expecting anything different, which I think, like you said, Pat, I think most of the fan base is quite comfortable with what's happening right now. I guess not comfortable is the right word, but it's not surprising. You know, I think everyone.
Well, I think people are. I think there's a lot of people who have been clamoring for, you know, a different direction, And now they are going in a different direction. They got off to a really nice start this season, but they still are a team that is prioritizing the big picture compared to, you know, prior years. So I do think there's an appreciation that that is going on right now. And the other thing is, you might be right, Dylan. Like, this might be what the Flames are, and this might be what we see more of for the rest of the season. But they still have an opportunity to prove that that's not the case. I mean, this road trip was pretty hard to watch, but they still have the opportunity to prove that they are more than this, and that this is just a temporary thing. Whether or not they do that, obviously, we'll find out.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and they, you know, they're a streaky team. They're gonna do things like this. You know, win four in a row, lose four in a row. That's what middle of the road teams do. You've said it numerous times last year. That's just what these teams do. You know, they go on a run and then they go on a you know, a little bit of a decline. And you know, and that's how you get in the middle, right? You never gain anything, but then you never also lose anything. Mm-hmm. Right? So you're always just constantly riding the wave of things. But I think they've got an opportunity here to call somebody up. They want, they can do whatever they want. You know, Peltier, Hanzek, that Karens is an interesting one. But the way training camp went, it was like Karens didn't even exist. Just, I don't know, it's kind of weird. But he seems to be doing well now, which is good. Good to see. Some interesting things. You know, I think Kadri's got to, you know, what we've talked about this every year that he's on this team, Pat, that he's got to stop thinking that he is going to do everything on his own. Because when he starts doing that, massive turnovers happen and we don't do anything. He has never been a player that drives everything, and that's just not going to work here. He wasn't that in Colorado, and he wasn't that in Toronto. So he can't do that here and expect to win. That's not going to happen. I'd say Kuzmenko. He's got a ton of skill. He's such a fascinating player. He's got so much raw skill there, and for some reason just can't get things done. It's a really interesting. They've got some decisions to make going for Tuesday there, Pat.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay, man. Well, you take care, and maybe we'll talk to you Tuesday.
Okay, Dylan. Good to hear from you as always, buddy. You be well, hey?
Yeah, you as well. We'll see you around.
Thanks, Dylan. 403-240-4444 is your phone number here. Following a Flames 6-2 loss on the road in Pittsburgh, it is your Flames Talk postgame show on this Saturday night. Pat Steinberg along with you. Let's say hello to Darcy. What's going on, Darcy?
What's up, Pat? How you doing tonight, brother?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know what? This is a long-time listener, first time really calling to your show. You know, I've been around the block with the Flames since the early 80s when they came to Calgary. You know, doing my age away there a little bit. And I'm just enjoying the ride, you know? This young team has got a lot of spunk. They're showing a lot of heart, a lot of drive. Right now, you know, our offense is sputtering. But overall, you know, it's a good club to watch. I'm enjoying my hockey, and I don't have a lot of negative to say. Don't have a lot of positive to say. Just enjoying the ride. Pat, I enjoy your talent. You've been around for a while now. Or you and Joe Sports and Rob Kerr back in the day. Good times, man. It's because they appreciate you, appreciate your what you do, and go Flames go.
Okay, Doug. You too, man. I mean, look. I think, well, first of all, I appreciate that. And, two absolute legends, pretty cool to, have been able to follow in those footsteps, in Joe and of course, Robbie. And, so appreciate that, Darce. And, you know, as for just enjoying the ride, I think there's something to that. And I do think there are a number of Flames fans who are in that same mindset, in that, hey, was the beginning of the season super fun? Sure. And by the way, by no means does it mean that they're done and there's no more good vibes left in this group. They're just currently on a bit of a skid, and we'll see what it looks like as they get out of it. But, you know, I also think that there is definitely an understanding that, hey, this might have been a group that was a little over their skis to begin with. And maybe the results had them a little higher up than maybe on merit they could have been based on the roster. But as I keep on saying, one thing that we know about this group, they play their tails off. That's not going to change. We know this group is that they believe. And we know this team is pretty committed to playing the way they need to play. And if that remains true for the next however many games, 57 games, 58 games, whatever's left this year, I think we're at 58 to go now. If that remains the case, then I think this team's staying competitive. Like, I know they've lost four in a row, and I know the offense has been an issue for quite some time. But honestly, friends, like, I don't know if that offense is all of a sudden just going to take this drastic turn. I think they are a low-scoring team, and I think that is part of their identity. The question is, how low-scoring? And the question is, for, you know, how long or how much does that impact them as the year goes along? And so when your goaltending maybe takes a slight step back in terms of team goaltending and your team defense takes a slight step back like it did on this trip, well, and you're also not scoring, well, you're going to have some results that get away on you. But if the Flames, if that goaltending comes back around a little bit, which I mean, there's every reason to believe it could and will, and if the team defense comes back around, which I think is a very reasonable expectation, then I think this team can start getting some better results, and this doesn't have to be a super long and extended losing skid for them. So we'll see. They've got Columbus coming up on Tuesday, and that's their next game. Two games at home before they're back on the road for a couple. They also need to figure out their road record to make it seven straight losses on the road. That's also not going to cut it. Being great at home is a nice thing to have, and you want to be a home team, and you want to make your home building a tough place to play, but you also need to, I mean, 3 out of 13 on the road, 3 wins out of 13 road games, that's not going to cut it. You're not going to be a playoff team that way, so they are going to have to figure out their road game as well. Okay, phone lines are open, 403-240-4444, as the Flames fall 6-2 on the road in Pittsburgh to wrap up this road trip. Text lines open at 960-960. It's time for tonight's Save of the Game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. It was Dan Vladar getting the start in net. 2 starts for Wolf, 2 starts for Vladar on this road trip, and Dan's Save of the Game tonight comes in period number 1.
Weegar trying to sidestep Lizotte, runs him right over, but Carlson picks the puck up and plays it ahead to Bunting. We've got a 2-on-1. Bunting over to Beauvillier, back to Bunting, and he's stopped by Vladar. A big save by the Flames goaltender on that Penguins 2-on-1.
And that ends up being one of the 38 stops made by Dan Vladar tonight, and that is his Save of the Game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes donates $5 to Kidsport Calgary. Visit shaneholmes.com, the better way to build. I did not think Vladar was the principal reason why they won this game. Very similar to the Columbus game with Wolf. I thought Vladar wasn't at his best, but the team in front of him was also, and perhaps even more so, not at their best. I do think the goaltending slipped a little bit on this trip, but I don't think it has been poor either. But, you know, not maybe at the same level it had in the games prior to this four-game trip. I would imagine they go back to Wolf on Tuesday against Columbus, and as of right now, I think your rotation is just fine to continue with Wolf and Vladar. Flames lose this game 6-2 in Pittsburgh, and tonight's game has been brought to you by South Point Toyota. Okay, phone lines are still open, 403-240-4444. Text line remains open at 960-960. More of your phone calls, more of your texts around the corner. Plus, we'll jump back inside the Flames locker room one more time as well. Flames Talk postgames available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. And it's live right here. This is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
6-2 final score in Pittsburgh tonight. Flames Talk postgame continues. Steinberg along with you at 403-240-4444 on the phone lines. 960-960 on the text line. 2 goal scorers. Both the goals came late in garbage time, but they did break the Nedeljkovic shutout at 5-0. Jonathan Huberdeau scored to make it 5-1 with just over 5 minutes to go, and then 38 seconds later, Nazem Kadri scored to make it 5-2. We've heard from head coach Ryan Huska. We have heard from Jonathan Huberdeau. Our final look inside the Flames locker room. Let's hear from Nazem Kadri after this rough 6-2 loss to wrap up what was a rough road trip for the Flames. Here is Nazem Kadri.
So, where did you see this one kind of get away from you guys after what looked to be a pretty good start from your group?
Second period, I mean, specifically, really. I mean, could have went either way in the first, obviously. You know, goaltender played pretty good. could have probably been up, you know, 1 or 2 nothing in the first period. And, you know, he did a great job standing on his head, made a couple incredible saves. So just didn't get any much puck luck today.
Well, I even go back to the post on the power play there and just how maybe that could change the way that this game starts to play out if one even
Well, it's early in the game, right? And, you know, 1 or 2 inches here or there, like I mentioned, we could be playing with the lead, but credit to them, they stuck with it and, you know, gave it to us a little bit in the second period. You know, obviously, you know, we'd like to tighten up our special teams, but, you know, other than that, it's a hard-fought game, just a little bit unlucky tonight.
What are you seeing and feeling from this group right now, and how do you kind of, you know, rally the troops? You're going back home, obviously.
Just in a little bit of a rut. I mean, that's standard in the season. It's a roller coaster ride. You got to be able to manage those highs and lows, as we've talked about. So, you know, we're going to approach it the same way if we're on a, you know, 4-game winning streak. Obviously, we're going to have to snap out of it. It's a good way to do it at home.
That is Nazem Kadri post-game following tonight's 6-2 loss. Let's get back to the text line at 960-960 and throw out the last call for phone calls. If you're on hold, stay there. If not, call now, 403-240-4444. It is last call for phone calls on this Saturday night. Brad in Bridgeland writes, well, there isn't much to like about that road trip. It's one thing if the team is battling and in every game, but the team just didn't show much compete at all, in my opinion. The Ottawa and Detroit games, they look dead in the water until late goals, and their last two games obviously speak for themselves. Their scoring woes continue, and now they're leaky defensively. They might be in a playoff spot for now, but this team in its current form isn't close to a playoff team. While this isn't the end of the world, they have a lot to figure out at both ends of the ice. This from Geraldo, who says, Pat, we've been down this path with the Flames quite a few times, but we have to keep in perspective they're still higher in the standings than expected. That being said, after watching the national dog competition this year, would you think Kuzmenko could win best in no show? Yeah, it's been a rough go, and there's been far too many nights when Kuzmenko has indeed been in that no show category. What else we got here? Oh, this one from Simon, who says, just wanted to say that what Megan Mickelson said about the Flames is absolutely right. The other teams are not taking the Flames lightly, and the young Flames players will have to pick it up a notch. Go Flames, go. This reads, wow, this team just doesn't have the talent. They had so many opportunities, but with that lack of said talent, they are in that I hope the goalie can save our bacon mode for a lot of years. That is the one and only positive with this team. Only worry is their two highest draft picks moved on and won a Stanley Cup elsewhere. That's why we as Flames fans can't bank on high draft picks to take them to the glory land, as it is never a given. This reads from Tim, Pat, well, that's another loss. I'm not team tank, but every time I think this is the real Flames, they come back with a win streak. Flames have talent, but they seem to be making bad decisions right now. Where are the big one-timers from Kuzmenko, Coronado, and Sharon Govich? Backlund needs to stop shooting on his own entries and pass a little more. So many players are just shooting below their normal scoring rates. Might be a system issue and or line combo issues. I do think there is a little bit to this being not a system issue, but just the brand of hockey they play, which I do believe is the best brand of hockey that they should be playing to have success. I do think it stifles offense a little bit or makes it harder to be first of all, they don't have the talent to be a high flying offensive team. And because of that, the brand of hockey they're playing is a very tight and defensively airtight type of hockey, which doesn't maybe open the door for as much offense at the other end. This from Calvin, amazing road trip. Very excited about losing these games. I really hope more Flames fans will realize they need a complete rebuild. I'm a diehard fan, but we all need to start looking at the bigger picture. Love everything Conroy's done so far and hope he keeps it going. On a different note, not relevant, but I do agree with that last part, just not relevant for right now. Claude writes, Pat, hard game to watch, horrible road trip, and generally horrible away from the dome. Very anemic offense. They are what they are. This from Jeremy, who writes in, Pat, tough trip for this team. I know it's easy to take shots after a bad road trip, but I do feel there's a missing energy bug / grit factor to this team. Pahal was more of a factor earlier in the season, but he's fallen off. Would be nice to replace Rooney as the fourth line center with one with more sandpaper to his game. That comes from Jeremy. This reads, do you know if Kadri's playing through something? He looks extremely checked out. I was really impressed with Kadri last year. For the life of me, I can't figure it out. It's kind of sad, maybe, but I don't believe he's playing through anything specific or anything major. Like, I do believe Mackenzie Weegar is playing banged up right now. I mean, a lot of guys play banged up over the course of an 82-game season, but maybe more so than normal. I think Mackenzie Weegar is playing banged up. I think Rasmus Anderson's playing a little banged up right now. I don't know. I don't know if Kadri is. I'm not trying to say one way or the other, but I don't, to my knowledge, I don't think he's playing through anything significant right now. Rick in Lakeview says, Pat, far too many things I'd like to touch on, so I'll stick to an abbreviated cluster. Kuzmenko must sit at this point. The power play is playing too passively. They need to depart from the box more. Net front traffic. They need some more uglies resulting. Let's see a turnaround on the homestand as mental fragility remains a critical factor with this roster. This says, after beating the four top-notch teams before the road, I don't buy that we're playing to their talent. I don't know. I wonder if this is... you know what? I'm going to go back up and say, Robin Calgary says, because I read just the last part of his text. It came in two parts. So I'll go back up to the front and say, Rob writes, Pat, I agree with everything you said at the beginning of the show. My question is, who and what is to blame? I'm sure you'll say, if you knew the answer, you'd be behind the bench. But we shouldn't be sitting here saying we have to get players in front of the net. If anything, we should at least be saying is they're not being effective in front of the net. Getting in front of the net is just basic hockey, a coaching issue, perhaps. And I'm a huge Huska fan all the way back to the Kelowna days. And you talk about the Flames regressing back to the norm, but that doesn't explain why the Flames beat four top-notch teams and then lose the next four to bottom-tier teams. Go figure. Maybe the talk about Flames trades are affecting the team. I threw out the Kadri trade to Toronto, but hey, maybe there's something to it. And Kuzmenko has to be sat. Playing him sends the wrong message. How many times over the last few years has the team responded well to a talented call-up from the Wranglers? Also, to the Flames' credit, they had a game and travel last night at the end of the road trip. The Flames have been tired this whole trip, it seems, and it seems the reffing gods are upset with them. Sorry for the long run-on here. I'm frustrated. That comes from Rob. I don't think trade talk is to blame. There really hasn't been trade talk. And one guy that I don't think is ever going to be distracted by trade talk is Nazem Kadri. Nazem has played in Toronto. I don't think any outside noise is ever going to be... is ever going to be an excuse. Lots of other things might be reasons for it, but yeah, the outside noise, especially on Kadri, is tough to buy. This says the only help on the way is going to be the Habs unless the GM shows some courage and moves guys like Kadri and Coleman. This reads from Steve in Med Hat. Pat, I'm not sure if you got my message before, but I'd like your opinion. We all agree how Backlund makes everyone around him better, and it's very clear Kuzmenko is struggling. Isn't it obvious? Kuzmenko needs the Backlund bump. Unless I'm mistaken, I can't seem to recall them spending any significant time together before. I mean, I guess you could go down that road, but I don't know if that's a... I do agree that Backlund elevates pretty much anybody that comes on his line. But on the Kuzmenko front, I worry about the fit and I worry about him dragging Backlund down because Kuzmenko struggles as much as he struggles mightily defensively. And Backlund is put in so many important defensive situations. I don't know if I'm in love with that one. I get the concept. I'm skeptical on that one myself. And finally, this says, Pat, that was horrible. If you could bench any five players for next game and bring up any five, who? Well, I don't know if I'll go five, but I would definitely. At this point, I'm of the opinion sitting Kuzmenko is something that needs to happen, even if it's for a game or two. I mean, you've tried everything else to get him going, and I know you're worried about how he responds, but he hasn't responded to anything so far. If you sit him down for a game or two, maybe that can work. That would be one that I would do. I would think about sitting Kuzmenko. I'd think about maybe sending Klapka to the American League, and not even a knock on Klapka, but I wonder if there are guys in the AHL right now who could spark you a little bit more. So, you know, in my eyes, I wonder if you send Klapka to the American League, Kirkland maybe to IR for however long he's out. So now all of a sudden you're down to 11 forwards if you send Klapka to the American League and Kirkland's unavailable. Then you sit Kuzmenko, then you've got two spots open. Maybe you plug in Dewar and Pelche. Boom, just like that, gives you a little bit of an infusion. That's something that I would be interested in if I'm the Flames. Great stuff so far on the text line at 960-960. Let's get to the phone lines. We got one line open still. It is last call for phone calls, though, at 403-240-4444. Flames lose 6-2 on the road in Pittsburgh. This is your Flames Talk post-game show, and we say hello to Terry. What's up, Terry?
Not much, Pat. I guess Pittsburgh missed the convert.
They did tonight, yes.
Yeah, we're all talking about the road trip, but I want to point out something else. We've only won 8 games in our last 21.
That sounds about right.
Yes, we can't blame everything on the road trip.
No, nobody's blaming everything on the road trip, but they have won 9 of 12 at home, and they have won just 3 of 13 on the road. So they clearly have won, like they're being propped up by their home record right now. So nobody's blaming this road trip. But this road trip just falls more in line with a theme right now.
And that theme is 8 wins in 21 games, and so and you're below 500.
And most of those wins at home.
Yep. And so, you know, people are talking about bringing these guys up, that guy up, that guy up, that guy up. But here's the serious question. What good is that going to do if you bring a guy up for 2 or 3 games and send it back down?
Well, who says that that's the way? Who says that's the way it's got to go? I mean, last year they got a significant shot in the arm from Zeri and Pospisil. We didn't know how long those guys were going to be up for, but they've been up ever since.
And what's Coronado done lately?
He's been quite good, Terry.
Two goals.
He's been quite good. He's not one of the issues right now.
When did he score his last goal, though?
You know what? That's fine, and I don't know off the top of my head. I can quickly go look for you. But he's not one of the problems right now.
And we want to look back at last year, too. Well, Saren Govich isn't scoring.
He is not.
Coleman's not scoring. Backlund's not scoring. So there's enough to go around.
Yes.
And maybe they need to have just a players' meeting. Coaches out of the room.
I mean, I don't know. Like, sure, but I mean, I don't know if that solves their lack of offense.
No, but it might give them a chance to air some.
I don't think we're at that point yet. I really don't. Like,
okay.
They're still in a playoff spot. They are going back home. They did not have a great road trip, but you know these things happen. I don't get the sense that this is the time to be having players only meetings.
No, but there's Vancouver's got, 2 or 3 games in hand. Edmonton's playing tonight with 2 games in hand, and if they beat Colorado, then they move ahead of the Flames. So we're in a precarious situation right now is all I'm saying.
Yeah, but I mean, again, this was a team that I think was going to be in a – I think that this was – a team that maybe was a little over its head in the first quarter of the season, maybe coming back down to earth a little bit here. And so, you know, I still think they're a competitive group, Terry. I still think they're going to remain a competitive group, but it was, in my eyes, it felt like maybe the whole talk of them winning the division or finishing top 2 in the division, that was maybe a little, they were a little inflated maybe sitting there. So they're in the mix still, and I think they're going to remain in the mix.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens at the end of the month, at the end of December, where they sit. And that'll give us a better feeling of what the rest of the season may look like.
Yes. I think that's probably fair to say.
Okay, I'll let you run and so you can get some more calls in. Thanks a lot.
Good stuff, Terry. Good to hear from you, as always, my friend. Let's say hello to Niels on the phone line. Always good to chat with you, Niels. How you doing?
I'm excellent, thank you. I said I would call around the American Thanksgiving, and
here we are.
Thanksgiving, we are still in the playoffs. The 77% in favor that if we play 500 or above, we should be in a playoff spot come the end of April. So that's the number one thing.
So 500, just let me do some quick math here.
That's so about 92 points.
I think you'll need more to get into the playoffs than 92 myself. I'm just doing the quick math. So they've got 54 to go. So 54 times 2 is 108 points. So you know what? That's 54 points. Come on, genius. So 54 points plus 28 points is 82. If they go
500
the rest of the way, they're like, I don't think 500 will get it done.
No, I'll probably have to do about five games above 500 at least to get it up there. But I mean,
which isn't completely out of the question.
Absolutely not. No, because, I mean, you look at it there. Vancouver has gone through a spurt similar to what Calgary's going through. I live out on the West Coast, and, you know, people were ready to, you know, jump off the bridge, you know. And Edmonton has gone through a spurt, you know, similar to what we're going through right now, where the goalie isn't good enough, where the forwards aren't producing. I mean, they got a $10 million man out here in Vancouver that they're, you know, they're lambasting if he doesn't get a hat trick, right? You know, and it's an ongoing thing. I do agree with the idea of starting to sit some players. And I'm thinking that this coming Tuesday, I don't know what kind of result to expect out of the game on Tuesday. It's going to be so emotional.
Agreed.
And I think it's going to be much harder on the Flames than it is on Columbus because, you know, of doing this ceremony in Calgary. And it has to be done because it brings closure to the fans and helps bring closure, and it shows, you know, how the city felt about Johnny at the time.
Well, and the Gaudreau family's going to be in town.
Oh, I know.
Honestly, Niels, like I think it's going to be rough on Columbus too, because it's kind of reopening things for them. They've done their heartfelt tributes, and they've done, and so now it's kind of they've done this already, and so they're going through it all again, and the family's going to be there, and it's going to be tough on, like, I think it's going to be equally tough on both sides. I think it's going to be equally emotional on both sides. I think it's going to be an incredibly emotional night for any Flames or Blue Jackets fan. And honestly, I kind of wonder if when it's all said and done, when the final buzzer goes on Tuesday, if you're kind of like, who cares what the result is? Like, it feels like Tuesday might be more of a night for being a human as opposed to being a hockey player or a hockey fan, but we'll see. We'll see how it all goes.
You know, like when I was at the first game in Vancouver, and of course it was Calgary, you know, like they honored with the 13 seconds of silence there, and that was wonderful. And that this is going to be so intense. And I think that's a good time to maybe start sitting some of these players that need to sit for the Calgary Flames, because the thought process isn't going to be as much on the game. I will honestly believe that. We got a 2-game homestand. Whatever the results are, get through it, work through this, you know, get in some good practices, and then head out to the game, and then let's start it all over again. There's plenty of talent on there, but there are some guys who are not producing. I don't think Johnny, Huberto hasn't scored a valuable goal since the first game of the season against Vancouver, okay? Everything else has been just like the Seahawks, 2 touchdowns at the end of the game to make it look better than it should be. Kuzmenko, I really love him. The guy's got so much talent. He's got creativity and everything like that, but I don't know what rink he's playing in when he goes out there and what he sees, because he needs to just shoot. Huberto needs to just shoot. And everybody else needs to focus on a proper pass rather than these fancy backhanded passes that go nowhere. I don't know how many blown tires I saw on this road trip. Defensemen, forwards, losing their footing, not being able to bring the puck even past center before they try to shoot it in. You know, and that is basic hockey 101 that guys at this level should be understanding and practicing, you know, in their sleep. And so there are some structural things in regards to how the Flames are going about moving the puck, setting up their power play, and you know, that they have to just start working it through, you know, and the guys just have to maybe take a step back, look at it again, and buy back in again. If not, maybe it's time for some of them to go to the general manager and say, you know what, maybe it is time for me to move on. And then we can start looking at these young players.
I think we're a little premature to be talking about that, you know, early in the second quarter of the season. They're still in a playoff spot. They're still
not disagreeing with you there, but at the same time, you know, we're in the business of winning hockey games.
Agreed. But I think still we're a little premature for you know, the GM to be, you know, trading guys away that he said he's not going to trade.
I mean, if we were in the Metropolitan Division, we'd already be out of the playoffs by a
mile.
Not. We are lucky.
It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
We are very lucky where we're at right now, and it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, but how many
hockey.
Other teams in the Western Conference can say the same thing? Edmonton, Vancouver, Colorado, Seattle, St. Louis, all these teams, Los Angeles, can all
exactly.
say.
Exactly.
The Western Conference is relatively weak this year, and so
yes.
that opens the door for a surprise team to get in, like the Flames, who currently are they're going to finish the month of November and start the month of December in a playoff spot, and
exactly.
go from there.
And there's six teams that are sitting there saying, "Hey, you know, there's nothing a 3 or 4 game winning streak can't cure right now." And that, and it's going to make for great hockey as we move into more divisional type play down the road. And it's going to be excellent. And I am hoping, of course, that, you know, our Flames are right in there. And, you know, maybe a move here or there is what's needed. And I'm sure that Craig Conroy is, you know, working the phones regardless on a daily basis. And I'm sure the coach is about different systems and, hopefully the guys will buy into what they're selling. And, you know, we end up, you know, starting a good winning streak. I'm looking forward to Tuesday's game. I don't cry often, but I have a feeling I will when I see the ceremony. And but I wish you all the best. I'll touch base with you in the new year. So all the best for the holidays and a happy new year to you.
Okay, you as well, Nils. Good to hear from you, my friend. As the Flames fall 6-2 in Pittsburgh this evening to wrap up a winless road trip. Let's say hello to Bryce on our Flames Talk post-game show tonight. What's up, Bryce?
Oh, not doing too bad. How are you?
I'm good, man.
I was just wondering, like, I know that the team is struggling at the moment. I was just wondering, how long did Hanley get, like, the other day? Did he get severely hurt?
Nope. He came back in the game, so he finished the game.
Okay. And then do you think the guy what did it couldn't get a suspension?
No. I mean, they even rescinded the major to a minor, so no, there's not going to be anything there.
Oh, wow. And then, you know how long Kirkland's going to be out?
Don't know. Like, the Flames don't know yet. He's still being evaluated.
Okay. I hope he's not, like out for the season. Hopefully not.
I sure as hell hope not. I mean, again, we don't know that the fact that he's getting evaluated, the fact that it looks like it was kind of a non-contact injury, those types of things, it makes you worry a little bit, but my fingers are crossed that's not the case. That's for sure.
Yeah, and then too, it's like I know that, like how they're playing though. I think it like a lot of them said it could be like confidence too, like when you lose a couple of players and they're get used to each other and then they lost one and then they're not quite used to different players yet. Like they're trying. They can't score much. And the effort's there. It's just I think confidence is a lot about this. Like,
could be. I mean, I don't know how much the confidence issue or confidence is an issue, rather, Bryce. I do think right now we are seeing this team struggle pretty mightily when it comes to their offensive game. But, you know, I kind of wonder if that was something that was, you know, if maybe that was something that we were going to see anyway, just because, you know, this team, I don't think ever was going to be a really high-scoring group.
Yeah, I know that. but do you think two players are they going to call up or just one?
I don't know if they're going to call up any. I mean, they'll probably call up somebody because they do need to make it so they have enough players on the roster. They'll probably call somebody up, but if they call up one, two, I don't know.
Yeah, and then maybe one last that. What's his name? Like they were just talking about earlier, Kuzmenko thing.
Yeah.
Like Lotovin said, he's got the skills, but I don't know. Is it because some of the lines they've changed too much? Do you think?
I honestly don't think there's really any other reason on Kuzmenko other than he's not. First of all, he's not taking shooting opportunities when he's got them as much as he should. It looked like it was turning around, but today, Bryce, he had zero shot attempts in this game.
Yeah.
Like,
that was awful. I saw it.
You can't. His shot is so much of a weapon. Zero shot attempts? Mm-hmm. That's unacceptable. Now, he had a couple games prior, it looked like maybe there were some things starting to trend in a better direction, but... It's fallen kind of back off again.
Yeah, and like you said, maybe it's time to put him in the seats and maybe a game or two.
I think it's something they absolutely should do, or at the very least, they should consider here.
Hmm. Then Kadri, but that he I know he's a couple of times he's producing, but yeah, a lot of what's going on with him? Do you think?
Look, on the Kadri front, he's still he's tied for the team lead in goals. He's got 8 goals. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think you're healthy scratching Kadri to the same. Like, he's still one of their more productive players. In saying that, I think he can be more productive and more of an impact player. But I don't think we're talking about Kadri on the same level as we are Kuzmenko here.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I agree with you. Anyway, you have a good night, and I'll let you get on with the other calls, and hope to talk to you soon again.
Okay, Bryce, good to hear from you, man.
Yeah.
Talk soon. We tried to have Darren on a little earlier. Weren't able to hook up with him the first time. Darren is back with us. What's up, Darren?
I'm sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
I just think that they've lost faith in each other, each player. You know what I mean? As a group, they need to... The caller before that said they need to have a group meeting. I really think that they do, too. I really think that they need Anthony Robbins in that meeting. You know what I mean? Like, they need... They're all good players.
It's not... We're not... Like, I think we're... I think that's a little... This is just me, but I think that's a little... I think we're kind of... escaping into hyperbole land here. I mean, they've lost 4 in a row, but it's not like we're talking about them looking like the worst team to ever play hockey. There's a team that is struggling offensively right now, but I think the whole idea of they need to have team meetings and players-only meetings, I personally think that's a little overblown right now.
Well, it seems to me like the whole group is really bought into Huska's system. And the way of playing hockey defensively has been really good. And it reminds me of when New Jersey won the Cup. They played a good defensive hockey. And I really think that they're focusing a lot on the system and trying to please management on the way that the system is. But their faith in each other, you know, as a group and playing together has dwindled a little bit. It's just going to take one line. It's going to take one line to click for 3 or 4 goals in one game. And I think Kuzmenko, as much as you guys talk about, you know, he was a 40-goal scorer, and he could turn it on too. And there is flu bugs, Pat, respiratory diseases, all that kind of stuff that could be hitting the team too. We don't know. You talked about him just being... you know, like normal human beings, like the rest of us. And they are, and they do other work besides hockey and the community and everything else. So, you know, perhaps they're fatigued a little bit. And I just think it's, They need to believe, really believe in themselves. Like Kadri's got to believe in Kadri. Huberto's got to believe in himself. They got to believe more in themselves because they all got the talent.
I still think there's lots of belief in this group. I don't really think that has changed. Right now they've lost a couple of games in a row or four games in a row. And now we'll see if they can get themselves back on track on home ice. I guess I'm not quite at the, you know, existential crisis spot that maybe some have been suggesting here, but that's just me. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not quite there myself.
I really think they're going to put it behind them for the month of December. It's going to be a different view at Christmas time on the Christmas break.
That would be great to see.
Well, I think so, like before they went on this 4-game losing skid, the talk was quite positive around the league and other people in the league about the Flames.
I don't think that has necessarily changed. They still are in a playoff spot here, and they still have exceeded expectations. Yeah. They just have lost four in a row. I'm not quite ready for a team that was already in a spot where they exceeded a lot of expectations. I'm not quite ready to be like, oh, well, you know, now it's time to really start to get dramatic about the whole thing. Now, I'm not suggesting that there aren't things that can be changed. It's more just, this is a team that exceeded a lot of expectations in the early going. And maybe now they're coming a little bit more down to earth.
And yeah,
let's see how they work their way out of it.
Maybe being at home for a little bit might do them some good.
And that could very well be a huge help to them.
Yeah, it's and the schedule too. Like you got to look at the schedule as far as a human being goes. Even if me and you went and did their schedule for 2 or 3 weeks, you get a little burnt out too, right?
Well, I think if me and you did it, we'd be really poor NHL players.
We would be, but we'd be a little wealthier, Pat.
we would indeed.
Anyways, thanks for the time, and your show has been great lately.
Appreciate it, Darren. You be well, man. Have a great night.
Yeah, you too.
And that will wrap us up on the phone lines tonight. Thank you for all your calls. Thank you for all your texts. Another very, very impressive night and a showing from you on the text line and the phone lines following this one, a 6-2 Flames loss on the road in Pittsburgh. As we move to our final summary on this Saturday night, the Flames trailed the entire way almost in this game, as Anthony Beauvillier made it 1-0 Pittsburgh in a fairly evenly played first period. The Penguins had the only goal. Beauvillier's seventh came at 17:14 of the opening period. Blake Lizotte and Michael Bunting drew the assists. But the second period, things got away from the Flames a little bit as they allowed a pair of power play goals. First, Michael Bunting made it 2-0 at the 2:40 mark. Bunting's fifth from Matt Grzelcyk and Chris Letang. And then Phil Tomasino made it 3-0 on the power play at 9:02. Tomasino's second from Chris Letang and Bunting, and it was 3-0 Pittsburgh after 40. Flames had a power play to start the third period, couldn't score, and then Pittsburgh kind of seals this one with a Ricard Raquel goal just past the 5-minute mark. Raquel makes it 4-0 with his 10th from Sidney Crosby and Brian Rust at 5:25. Another power play goal just over 2 minutes later. Letang makes it 5-0 with his 3rd. Grzelcyk and Kevin Hayes the assist at 7:59. 3 power play goals to make it 5-0 Pittsburgh. Flames do get a couple back in the later stages, a couple of garbage time goals. Jonathan Huberdeau breaks the shutout bid at 14:27 with his team leading 8th. Huberdeau from Nazem Kadri and Martin Pospisil at 14:27, and 38 seconds later, Nazem Kadri moves into a co-lead in goals. He scores his 8th from Huberdeau and Kevin Ball at 15:05 to make it 5-2. But the Penguins score one more with just over 90 seconds to go. Lizotte makes it 6-2 with his 4th from Drew O'Connor at 18:23, which gets us to our 6-2 final score. Final shots were 44-33. Pittsburgh. Flames go 0-for-3 on the power play tonight. Penguins go 3-for-5 with the man advantage. Your 3 stars, all Penguins. Number 3, Alex Nedeljkovic in net. Number 2, Michael Bunting. And with a goal and 3 points, Chris Letang, your hardest working Flame. Sorry, you're a number 1 star tonight. Your hardest working Flame as selected by Megan Mickelson tonight was Jonathan Huberdeau. With the loss, Flames fall to 12-9-4. They're back in action Tuesday at home to Columbus, while Pittsburgh improves to 10-12-4. They're back in action Tuesday at home to Florida. That is your final summary. And now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, for our co-host on pregame and intermissions, Matty Rosen, for our outstanding producer, Connor Gronsdahl, my name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up on our Flames Talk postgame show, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Next up for the Flames is Tuesday night in what proves to be, I think, a very emotional night at the Dome. It's the Columbus Blue Jackets in town. The Gaudreau family is going to be in town, and a 7 o'clock faceoff between the Flames and Columbus Blue Jackets on Tuesday will be on the air at 6 o'clock with your Calgary Flames warm up. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your weekend. Stay warm. We'll talk to you on Monday and Tuesday. Once again, your final score from Pittsburgh tonight: Flames fall 6-2 to the Penguins. This has been your Flames Talk postgame show, available wherever you get your podcasts. And this has been Calgary Flames hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.